Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This story made national news, and it was right out of the Chicago area. It's hard to think that a little girl walking her dog, she was eight and a half years old, that would make national news. She just simply, around the block, walked her Maltese named Marshmallow, and a neighbor complained and called the police. What do you think about that? Oh, but the police said, there's no big deal, she's almost 9 years old. Well, when the police ignored it, then they went to the Department of Children and Family Services for the state of Illinois, and Corey Wyden, who's the mom, said she felt shocked and angered and fearful about all this. I wonder if there was a thing between the neighbor and Corey in the first place that has nothing to do with the child, or this neighbor is truly concerned about the child walking a dog alone. So how do you feel about that? I mean, almost 9 years old is just going around the block, not going very far, in a well-to-do suburb, if you will. I mean, anything can happen these days anywhere. Would it have been different if this were in the heart of the city? Would you have thought differently about it? Well, maybe. Would you have thought differently about it if she was walking without the dog? My concern is, what if an aggressive dog turns the corner? Could she handle Marshmallow, her dog? Well, I don't know the answer to that, and that's a concern I have. Would she drop the leash and her dog would run away? What if it was a little boy instead of a little girl? Would that have made a difference? Curious about what you think of all this. Anyway, the Department of Children and Family Services turned out they did not think much of it and said, we're dropping the whole thing. I talk often on the show about tick disease. I've called it an epidemic. And in just a moment, we'll talk to an expert. One thing that's happening is that there's a new tick in town. So it would be cool if I don't talk politics on the show very often, but how about if President Trump built a wall to prevent ticks from coming into America? That's what we need. A tick called the East Asian tick has just entered the country. This tick does spread tick disease. It's often called the long horn tick because the tick looks like it has a long horn on the end of it. Right now, it's not in Illinois yet. Yet, that's the operative word. It's more in the eastern part of the country. This tick does, like most ticks, spread disease. The amazing thing about this tick, I mean, if the tick inundation that we'll talk about in a moment isn't bad enough, this tick is self-cloning. It can clone itself. That's not science fiction. It's really true.
Veterinary parasitologist Dr. Mike Dryden at Kansas State University. I do have a question for you. I have read in your veterinary publications this word on occasion from your colleagues regarding ticks and tick disease, calling it an epidemic now. Is that too strong of a word?
Probably not, Steve. It's really remarkable what we have seen over the last 25 to 30 years here in North America with the expansion of ticks. In fact, there's one scientific publication calling it ecological havoc. That's actually in the title of the paper in a peer-reviewed journal. So, yeah, this is a bad situation. These ticks continue to expand, and the diseases they carry also continue to expand throughout the United States and Canada.
And the thing is, the tick disease, most of them that affect us affect dogs and vice versa. You would think because people can get so sick, and let me rephrase that, they are getting so sick, that it would be in the news more than it's been in the news.
Well, I think, you know, it's like anything, there's a little bit of just, it's been so common for so long, we're just kind of getting out of that news cycle. Because, you know, Lyme disease was, you know, huge. In the news media, you know, in the 1980s and 1990s, but it's become so commonplace today that the news media has kind of moved on. Even though the numbers of cases in the United States are just astronomical. In fact, the CDC recently basically put out an estimate that maybe only 10% of human Lyme disease cases even reported anymore. This is a federally reportable disease, but it has become so common that doctors don't report it.
That's kind of scary.
It's really scary. So, you know, they see these numbers like 30, 35,000 cases on an annual basis. It's probably closer to 300,000, 400,000 cases in humans.
Now, the good news, and this you'll tell me, but this is the way I've always put it, you can actually do more to protect your dog than you can yourself. So it's good news, bad news, really.
Well, yeah, and we do have some remarkably effective tools today to protect your dog from Lyme disease. There are several incredibly effective vaccines that are no longer available even in the human market for a variety of reasons. But in dogs, these things are remarkably effective. They're remarkably safe. And in those areas of the country where we have highly endemic Lyme disease, I think you're foolish not to protect your dog. Then we also have basically tick products. And there are topical and there's even oral tick products. And yes, these oral systemic tick products work very, very well to protect your animal. So,
and we're not only talking Lyme disease here for the products you're talking about right now, but we're talking about a whole host of tick diseases, a long list. And it seems every year people who do what you do discover another one.
Yeah, it seems like we do. But you're right. You know, we talked about Lyme disease, what we have a vaccine for. But you know, we've got a lot of other disease out there. We got what's called anaplasmosis. We got three different forms of Ehrlichia out there. We got Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Yeah, I could go on and on and on. And the only way to protect your dog from those is an effective tick product.
And why do we need to do that?
We got to protect our dog because these diseases cause significant, clinical disease in your dog, and they can even kill them. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which, you know, has been around a long, long time, it can be lethal. Not only to dogs, but sadly even to us as well. So, you know, our dogs deserve better than to have ticks on them. Let's face it. In today, these animals are members of our family. Okay, and we need to protect the members of our family. And let's say, you know, you can walk down a trail and stay on the trail, but your dog's going to jump off into the foliage and get these ticks. And so we have to protect them.
But the ticks aren't only in the foliage, on the trails, somewhere out in the middle of wherever you are hiking. They're in Manhattan and Central Park. They're in Chicago and Lincoln Park. They're certainly in Boston and Commons Park, you know?
In fact, most urban centers today have tick issues because of wildlife are in urban centers. The number one is the white-tailed deer in eastern North America. And the white-tailed deer is the primary reservoir host for a couple of these ticks. One's called – well, one's the Lyme disease tick, Ixodes scapularis. And the other is the classic Lone Star tick in the south, Amblyomma americanum. And deer are bringing those into urban habitats. In fact, you know, you're up in the Chicago area, Steve, and there was a publication came out a couple of years ago where they were able to find the tick that carries Lyme disease in almost every city park in metro Chicago.
Yes, and a veterinarian who I know you know had a client in Chicago with a little white fluffy dog, never went to the big parks, just hung around the backyard. And this dog had Lyme disease. How does that happen? But it is happening.
It is happening. But first of all, we talk about, you know, well, deer are walking through our habitats as well. These ticks can also get coyotes. But the thing we underestimated for a long time, which has now been well studied, are migratory birds. Migratory songbirds will actually carry Lyme disease-infected ticks, and many of these birds will actually even carry the bacteria. And these birds light in your yard, the ticks fall off, and then get on you or your dog.
Yep. So protection, I guess, is the magic word?
We have to. We have to, Steve.
All right. Dr. Mike Dryden, thank you so much. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear about diet and how diet can help our aging cats, specifically our older cats. And our cats are living longer than ever before. Lots of reasons for that. Can we help them to live even longer? Maybe. We'll talk with Dr. Kurt Venator of Purina in a moment. Dog Patch Pet and Feed in Naperville has everything that you need to keep your pet happy and healthy. Interested in pet adoption? That's a great thing. Well, Dog Patch has done a great thing, placing over 400 rescue dogs last year and has new shelter and rescue animals arriving, well, almost every day. And the idea is to try to keep up with all those So I want you to go out to Dog Patch Pet and Feed, tell your friends about it, and consider adoption. It's my kind of option. Check them out at dogpatchpets.com. They're on Facebook, of course. Everyone is on Facebook. They're at 1108 East Ogden Avenue in Naperville. And every Tuesday is Senior Discount Day. Come in on Tuesdays for your 10% senior discount on all purchases.
Paul Lisnick. I hope you heard me mention that. The folks at Freshwave have added some exciting new products to their lineup, right now available only on the Freshwave website. Introducing Freshwave Odor Removing Wax Melts. The wax melts are clean burning, and just like all the Freshwave products you've come to know and love, they're made with plant oils. So really, there's no harsh chemicals or pollutants or phony masking fragrances that smell worse than the odor you're trying to get rid of in the first place. And you breathe inside your home, it should smell fresh. It should be fresh. Speaking of newness, head to your local Target store for an expanded assortment of Freshwave products, including the new bag-on-valve spray technology. It's a continuous non-aerosol fine mist odor remover that has superpowers. The already amazing Freshwave spray, well, this can outdo that even. Pretty incredible to think about. Then there's the new Freshwave lavender line, available in packs and gel, and a trigger spray for a little something extra that sticks around. Well, you destroy household odors. You'll find Freshwave at Ace Hardware, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Target stores, as well as online at freshwaveworks.com. Head to the web, shop online, your nearest retailer. It doesn't matter. Freshwave has got it all, really. If there's a smell in your house, Freshwave has something to deal with it or to prevent odors. And you know what? I'm all about prevention. So I like that idea, too. Freshwave works, and it does. Freshwaveworks.com.
Chief Medical Officer of Purina is Dr. Kurt Venator with some good news. Our cats are living longer than ever before. I think one reason for that is we're keeping them indoors. I mean, at least more and more people are. Not too many cats, if they're really kept indoors, are hit by cars or chased by coyotes. But it's also about nutrition that's changed. And it's not only what we feed our cats. I want to talk about that. But I also want to talk about how we feed our cats. A lot to cover in just a few minutes. So there is some notion that cats need, according to the internet, certain kinds of food. Rather than talk about what they don't need, what do they need?
Sure. What they need first is a high-quality advanced nutrition. And you want to make sure that you're feeding them appropriately. We know that obesity is a common condition that we see in many cats, and we know that it's bad when it comes to their quality of life and the length of their life. So we always encourage pet owners to have their annual or biannual visits with their veterinarian so trained professionals can assess their body condition. We know that obesity can lead to a variety of complications in cats, such as diabetes and even osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes difficult for a pet owner to pick up. Sometimes they notice that the cat may be slowing down, might not want to jump up anymore, look out the window. Some of those are telltale signs. But again, nutrition is so fundamental to health and well-being. And I'm not just saying that because I work for Purina. I'm saying that because I'm a veterinarian. And if you think about it, it's the one thing we do every day with our cats to help them thrive. We need to feed them. So what you want to do is you want to look for a food that is feeding appropriate for life stage and has the right protein to calorie ratio. Protein is a big thing when it comes to cats. Cats are obligate carnivores, and we want to make sure they're getting enough protein so they can maintain that lean muscle mass and have the energy that they need to enjoy their time in the house.
Now, despite the fact that our cats are indoors more and more, as I mentioned, they haven't fundamentally changed in some ways. They still need, and I do mean the word need, to hunt and to pounce. While feeding them out of a food dish, it seems to me they don't have that opportunity.
Certainly not in the wild. They do have to work at it a bit more. And their feeding patterns, as you know, can be varied. And there are a lot of nuances that a lot of cat owners may not even know about. For example, if you have a food bowl that's too small and their whiskers continue to hit it, that can be very off-putting to a cat. Also, where you feed them, things like distraction, noises, other cats in the household, perhaps other dogs or children, or even noises like music, that can be off-putting to cats and sometimes may result in them eating less or maybe even drinking less and becoming dehydrated. So depending on your individual cat, and I would say just the parameters that you have in your household, you have to think beyond even just what's in the food bowl.
There's a product called the Indoor Hunting Feeder, which is like a It's supposed to replicate a mouse, and what you do is you put some kibble in there. You put two or three of these around the house. You train your cats to look for these. Doesn't take much training for most cats, and they move around. They maneuver these little things, and the food comes out. I know Purina makes a little plastic ball. Same
yes.
idea.
It's
we have one of those, and the cat, our cat Roxy, puts the ball around in different directions, and the food tumbles out. The idea is cats still like the hunt.
They do.
And they need to, I think.
And they do, if you think about it. It's that predatory behavior, and it's part of just their natural evolution over time. And so we often recommend multiple bowls, puzzle toys, other toys that allows them not only to get the proper nutrition that they need, but also the proper enrichment.
Yeah, I think it's exceedingly important. Now, and we know that, actually. We know that it's intertwined. So when cats have an environment that is unenriched, actually, that is related to a variety of illnesses that can occur in cats.
Yes. Yeah, and I think the ones, you know, when we think about it, again, we need to make sure that we have to look at it through the cat's eyes, if you will, and from their evolutionary history. Giving them an opportunity to perch up high, giving them an opportunity to sit next to a window, having the opportunity to have a cat scratching post, having different toys that you rotate each day, so it's not the same toy. All those things may sound very subtle, but they're very important to that cat's behavior. And again, we want to make sure that they're eating appropriate amounts. We want to make sure that they're drinking appropriate amounts.
And there's some new research out which indicates, okay, there's one type of diet that seems to be beneficial to help cats live longer.
Yes. At Purina, we're really excited about a new product we have. It's called Purina Pro Plan Prime Plus. This is for cats that are 7 years and older, and it's revolutionary. It's a proprietary formula that is showed to improve their quality of life and extend their life, all through nutrition.
I could never say that. I can, however, say Peter Pepper picked a pick of pickled peppers, almost. Purina, do that again.
Purina Pro Plan Prime Plus.
He did it. Thank you, Dr. Vinader.
Thank you.
Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you and your pets need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne. Belmont Western and Clybourne. I said that really fast the first time, so I slowed it down the second time. MedVet provides emergency specialty and critical care 24/7. That's what it's all about. They're open all the time, but it's not just this ordinary place that is open. They have experts. In fact, many are board certified in critical care. They're called criticalists. But moreover, they have boarded experts, and they are that. Just like they have boarded human physicians in cardiology and neurology and those sorts of things. Same thing is true in animal health. And they have them. Boarded dentist even at MedVet Chicago. The list of boarded specialties is like a dozen over there. For further information, call 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110. Also, they have an oncology center, so there you go. The cancer specialists, of course, are over there. They have experts in rehab, and they do rehabilitation. So just after knee surgery for somebody, you or me, we'd go for rehab, right? The same is true for our dogs, and they have that all and much more at MedVet Chicago, 773-281-7110. How about this for a new hobby? I mean, there are some strange trends that I report on every now and again. This one is painting horses. You heard me right, using horses as a canvas. I don't understand it. Now, the paint isn't real paint. It's the stuff they use, you know, in dog grooming shows, I believe. And it doesn't hurt the horses. The horses, in fact, some of them, I would argue, probably enjoy the extra attention. But it began in the UK, and now it's spread to the United States. It began and continues to happen for birthday parties, kids' birthday parties. But now the developmentally disabled and others are using this as a sort of therapy to literally paint horses. What do you think about that idea? I don't know that I'm a fan of it. I talked to Karen Conti about this very thing on the radio a couple of weeks ago and said, you know what, I don't have strong feelings about it, but overall, I think this is not what we do to support the dignity of our animals. And in addition to that, if it's kids involved in all this, what are we teaching the kids, that we can paint on horses? I'm not sure the lesson there is a good one.